You're listening to KSCO, serving Santa Cruz, Pebble Beach, and Pinoche.
You never know what's around the corner in radio. You never can tell. And I'm totally stoked about our guest this morning, who is Joshua Miller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you here this morning.
So great to be here this morning. And thank you.
You are a facilitator and a multi-instrumentalist. What other instruments do you play besides... What is the name of this beautiful thing?
This instrument is called the Rav's drum.
Can you just hit it so the listener can hear the sound? Okay, so that's just... Yeah, it has all sorts of different sounds as it goes around. And it looks like a dark blue spaceship is what it does, but there are no aliens in it. Or at least if there are, they're not coming out until later. Yeah, you can just move it around and you can hear the sound differ.
Definitely. It's very dynamic and it has different notes which produce different tones and different keys.
And yet it doesn't interfere with the other. Each one doesn't interfere with the others.
Correct. It's actually designed so that there are no wrong notes.
Oh, good. So it's an instrument I should play then.
Definitely. Definitely. So I play this instrument as well as other hand pans or idiophones, as they're called in the percussion genre, as well as Indian tablas is my other main instrument.
Oh, I love those. We have some folks who come in and play Indian music. It's gorgeous.
Such a beautiful instrument.
It is. Now, you use your passion for sound as a therapeutic modality.
I do.
How could you describe that for us?
Definitely. So a few years ago, I started studying the fields of music therapy and sound healing and have learned that there are many ways in which rhythm specifically can help people relax. And it's been a very big part of my own journey in life to use rhythm as a way to relax and just feel more at peace and in balance with what's happening. So I've been able to share that with audiences, which has been fantastic.
Are you a very laid-back East Coast guy? I mean, most East Coast guys, they're kind of a bit hyper, and a bit like, you know, because we're so laid-back here, almost too laid-back here, and I think that applies to New York as well, but you're a transplant, and you're a very calm guy.
Well, thank you. I've definitely shedded a lot of the stress that used to consume me back on the East Coast.
Really? Because of this?
Because of this and traveling and just life experience, I've been able to see a lot of places around the world and really, you know, mellow out over the years. So I'm definitely a New Yorker, you know, at heart from the old days, but it's been a blend of the West.
And you have traveled all around the world, haven't you?
I have. I've been lucky to travel to 5 continents. And I'm still going.
Did you have any idea that your interest in percussion would ever lead you to do this?
Definitely not.
It's called Embodied Sounds, by the way. That's your company, right?
That's my brand at the moment, yes.
That's your brand. I'm sure that this will be your brand for a long time to come here. Now, how did you come upon this Rav here?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I have to give credit to one of my teachers who lives in Portugal. His name's Bruno Teixeira, and he really turned me on to melodic percussion. That was a few years ago. I received a concert from him, and it completely inspired me to just open my mind and pursue an entirely new direction with my life. So, you know, we all have teachers, and I think it's important to give, you know, those respects, but it really just felt like an instrument that made a lot of sense to me and is a way that I can express my percussion combined with my melodic background. I was a trained clarinetist as a child, so I was able to kind of bridge the two together. I actually wanted to play drums when I was in fourth grade, but I failed a listening test and was told, you should play the clarinet.
Now, reflecting back on that, because now you're doing percussion,
uh-huh.
How does that, do you think that they were wrong in that assessment of you?
You know,
or does it not matter?
I don't think it matters. I think everything happens the way it's supposed to. That's been a practice I've been trying to embrace. And, you know, I loved learning a more melodic instrument at the time. It taught me how to read music, which I'm very grateful for now. And I also had a great piano teacher when I was a kid. But I just got focused on other things. I actually had a career as a filmmaker for a long time and a facilitator leading wilderness trips. So music was kind of on the back burner, you know, always a hobby, always something that was, oh, yeah, I'll do that, you know, for fun. I played at a volunteer orchestra when I was living in New York on bass clarinet. But it was about 3 years ago I decided to make it more the focus in my life. And it was really the tabla that, I have to say, really grabbed me and said, here, just do this.
It's very hypnotic.
Very hypnotic. Very healing. Very, very meditative.
So when you have, let's say, that you do you deal with people who have physical ailments, or do you deal with people that have psychological ailments, or is it an amalgamation?
You know, anyone can walk into an offering with a range of issues going on.
It's called an offering. That's
an
cool.
Offering. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I like to describe them as a sound bath, and the ocean concert that Kim introduced you to is very much a blend of a traditional sound bath where people come in, lie down on a yoga mat perhaps, or a blanket, or some type of soft, you know, cushion, and just lie down and receive a meditative concert. It's kind of a different take on how to attend an event rather than sitting up and watching and looking at someone perform for you. The music is more offered for your own well-being, and it's impossible to know what everyone's dealing with in a group of 30 people, let's say. So my intention is to approach that serving everyone's highest good, and allowing really the sound and the music to penetrate their, you know, experience in a way that is supportive and not harmful.
And do you find that when people leave your offerings and they're exiting the building, do you find that they're in a more relaxed state? Do they make comments to you like, I can't tell you how amazing that felt, or something felt lifted off me?
Yes, definitely. That is one of the best parts of being able to do this work, is hearing directly from people who have been positively affected. And most of the time, people are very relaxed and more at ease with something that might have been very stressful that day, for example.
How lovely to spend your time doing that, because it must have that effect on you, too.
Totally, totally. It's an exchange. It's an exchange. I think when we really are able to connect with someone, it's felt on both sides, and it gives me just as much joy as people who are attending, for sure.
How cool is that? So do you know what the sounds are when you first heard that music, or the sound, rather, under the ocean? Was it identified to you as, this is that animal that makes this noise and this is that? Or was it simply you sat and you listened and you let your music just naturally meld with those sounds?
That's a great question. My partner, John Ryan, in the Sounds of the Ocean Project, came up to me one day after a sound bath and said, hey, Josh, if you'd ever like to work with ocean recordings, I have an entire library of various recordings of whales, dolphins, and other ocean noise. And as a musician interested in healing music, my ears perked up like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah.
So I went down to Mumbari and listened to some of the tracks that John had on his computer. And at the time, he had an enormous subwoofer in his office, which was a modest, small office for an engineer in a science building. And he played me first, I remember, hearing a track of the blue whale. And the blue whale is one of the lower frequencies that we have in our ocean soundscape. And the entire building was shaking, listening to the sound of that blue whale. It felt kind of like an earthquake.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I have to go down to this guy's office.
And it was very, very exciting. And that really kind of caught my attention. So then we started listening to humpback whales. Beautiful voices of humpback whales. It really is like a love song between the different, you know, the different characters in that recording. And then from there, I think we listened to some dolphins and probably some fin whales as well. And over the last, I'd say, 8 months, this has been a project that started back in February. So over about the last 8 months, it's really been the mission of the Sounds of the Ocean team to look through the archives and really pick out some of the best highlights of what Mumbari's been doing, because they record 24 hours a day.
Yes.
John knows this library better than anyone and has really devoted his life to archiving it and making it accessible to people. So with the help of a few other very brilliant artists this year, really been able to launch this effort and create a 60-minute soundtrack that kind of paints an overview of what it sounds like in the ocean, including our human impact. We have a particular section of the experience that records a ship passing by, and that was done very intentionally to really allow people to feel what it's like when someone shows up from the human race underwater.
That's fascinating.
Thank you.
This is as cool as I knew it was going to be. We're going to get to hear some of this in just a little bit. KSEO News Talk time is 51 past 8. In the studio with me this morning is Joshua Miller. He is a facilitator and multi-instrumentalist. We have a six-minute piece. The hydrophones are very sensitive microphones that you can put in water to record the sounds. And Josh is going to play his RAV drum, and we're going to communicate the two. So you start that off, Alex, please. Thank you. Man, that is so cool.
Thank you so much.
Was you hearing those sounds like that? Who knew that there was that much sound under the water?
Right?
You'd think right? that you wouldn't yes. think that there would be anywhere near that amount of sound.
It's really incredible, and it's just such a privilege to get to use, you know, a skill set as a musician, really, to support something much bigger than music, like our planet, you know, and the environment, and raising awareness around this issue, because not just ocean noise, but of course ocean pollution, it's a big problem.
Yes, it is.
And there are a lot of people doing a lot of things about it, so, you know, we're excited to just tune more people into what's happening.
That is fantastic. My goodness me. So this is the Sounds of the Ocean. This is a benefit concert series to raise awareness of ocean noise pollution. This is in conjunction with Mabari. If you want more information, it's soundsoftheocean.com. I feel better for having met you, Joshua Miller.
Wow. Same here.
Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Really beautiful.